This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. We're in the middle of an election forum with candidates in western Wisconsin's 92nd State Assembly District. The district includes all or parts of Trempealeau, Jackson, and Buffalo counties, and includes the communities of Trempealeau, Galesville, Arcadia, and Black River Falls. Frac sand mining has been a huge issue for many of the district's communities, and the candidates could not have more different views on the issue. We're about to find that out as incumbent Democrat Chris Dano of Trempealeau and his GOP challenger Isaac Wicks conclude this forum. Dano has served the past three terms in the state assembly and is a former police officer in Onalaska. Wicks is a business owner and a military veteran who has run for office before, three times for the state legislature, and most recently in the statewide recall for lieutenant governor, where he ran as a protest Democrat. Wisconsin Public Radio's Rich Kramer moderated the forum, recorded earlier this week at the Wisconsin Public Radio studios in Eau Claire.
In the last two sessions, there were bills introduced by Republican lawmakers that would have scaled back what aspects of frac sand mining could be regulated by local governments. The main argument was that some local officials are hostile to mining and they're creating a patchwork of ordinances that makes it hard to navigate and effectively keeps companies out. So should local town and county officials have free rein over how they regulate frac sand mining? Isaac Wicks.
Once again, this always goes down to whether or not you're for it or against it, to which level. You know, the problem that we have is down in, Buffalo and Trempealeau counties, the fact that you've got townships that want to have it come in, the county doesn't want to have it come in, the city will want it to come in, the city will annex the township, the county will sandbag it as long as they can, they'll go through a bunch of lawsuits, it'll end up going in. You know, it's one of these things where it is creating a problem there. The thing is the way that it's frac sand mining will continue to grow, but here in Buffalo, Trempealeau, and Jackson counties, it's kind of reached the it's probably gotten as much as it's going to be. Ultimately, the limiting factor on the frac sands in those three counties is going to be the transportation to get it out. And right now, they've just about reached the capacity of the railway to get it out of there. So you're probably not going to see a whole lot more frac sand mines going in. So ultimately, the ones that are in there. They're changing the rules at this point for that. For this is probably not going to bring more in or keep more out or whatever it is you're planning on doing with it. So I don't see a whole lot of legislative push to change anything at this point in time. We'll see how things work out in the courts as far as, some of these townships and cities suing one another as far as getting the getting these things in. But right now the locals are it's going through the local channels at this point, and would it have been easier? This would have been easier if this stuff would have been figured out, 15 years ago. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen. And like I said, we're probably reached the end of the number of sand mines that are going to end up going in anyway. So any law right now probably isn't going to make a whole lot of difference.
All right, Chris Dano, should the local officials, town and county officials, have free rein over how they regulate frac sand mining, including regulatory things like, environmental stuff, the DNR?
Let me just, one of the finest moments I think I had in the legislature last session was beating back that bill that took away local control. Senator Vineout and myself fought long and hard against that, and we're very proud of the fact that we're able to. Sometimes it's not only what you pass, it's what you defeat, and we're very proud of defeating that bill. Very, very proud. I can't think of any of my constituents, even the ones that, most of them who wanted something like that. And Mr. Wicks' cavalier attitude towards the whole issue speaks to the fact that he doesn't really live here. Because if you lived here, you'd know that this is a big issue. You'd also know that sand mining is going to continue to be an issue and that there are continuing permitting applications going forward for sand mines, and there's no sign of it stopping. I guess if you'd lived in the district, you'd actually know that, Isaac. But the point being is we need local officials, the people who are most directly in touch with their constituents, the people who have to live there, the people who are most impacted by these things to have the ability to make sure they can protect the health and safety of the constituents and the people they represent. And I will always be supportive of making sure that local officials have the tools to do that. That being said, I do think we need to make sure that the state is adequately monitoring these facilities. You're seeing continuing news reports of pollution, of discharges, of creeks. I think there's just one up by Chippewa Falls, I think, that was just in the news. We had several violations here in Trempealeau County, and some of them, quite frankly, can be dangerous. If some of these berms and mine pits give, and some of these berms that hold back water give way, they can flood neighbors. We've had sand destroying. We've had sand essentially land, essentially small, you know, for lack of a better term, flood events going into people's homes and ruining their homes. So this is real. It's having a real impact on the people that live around them, and I think it's something that we need to address. And it's not going to be addressed by state officials. Taking away the ability of local officials to have their ability to protect the health and safety of their constituents.
What about, one of the things that those bills included was the argument that, well, local officials are trying to enact, you know, environmental regulations that above and beyond what the DNR does.
Well,
should they be able to do that?
Keep in mind, the state law allows local officials to do things to protect the health and safety, to enact ordinances to protect the health and safety of their constituents. Good reason why you don't necessarily want that is the topography around here is very, very different than it is, say, in the more flat parts of the state where, say, Mr. Wicks actually lives.
Have a topography like Elmwood. You probably haven't been here, have you?
One at a time, gentlemen.
It's one of those things where you have to allow local officials to take into local consideration the effect.
I'm sorry, Isaac. One at a time.
Are just horrific for the district.
I had you muted, so we didn't hear what you said. One at a time, please. Go ahead, Isaac.
All right. The keep in mind, I know that Chris likes to bring up this fact. Oh, you're not from the district. You're not from the district. Apparently, I live in the flat, hills of Elmwood or something. But anyways, I grew up less than 2 miles from an open pit mine, and I didn't die. The other things that these sand mines are creating is jobs, and they're creating very good jobs. Jobs where you can be a kid, know how to drive a tractor, and come down there and make $30 an hour jobs. One of the things that people seem to forget is one of the reasons that I went to Iraq in the first place was to protect the world's oil supply. We have the opportunity to become energy independent here in the United States. And one of those things that we have here is sand from western Wisconsin. It's part of the solution to doing that. So I tell you what, the mitigation that we're going to have to do of the minor problems there is with a few more trucks in the road is insignificant compared to what we have to do by going to war to keep the oil supply going. So I tell you what, it's the net gain that we're getting out of the sand mines that we have here far outweighs any of the negative that we're ever going to endure.
And I'll stay with you, Isaac. Some people, in fact, a lot of people that live around these mines are concerned about the dust, and they want the DNR to study the really fine dust, not just the normal dust blowing off of piles. The DNR has said our standards are good enough. Do you think another look should be taken at what they call...
Well, the whole thing with that is a lot of that is nonsense. It's brought up. Farming creates far more dust than those sand mines have. Farming uses far more water than the sand mines do. Farming tears up far more ground than the sand mines do. So a lot of the fight against this is a red herring. And people are using this to create animosity among neighbors. When a lot of the issues are projected, perceived problems, and like I said, there are certain issues you are going to have problems with roads, things like that. But once again, the cost of rebuilding roads is far cheaper than the cost of putting an army together and going over to Iraq.
Gotcha, Chris Dano. Thoughts about should the DNR take a look at the ultra fine?
Oh, I think so. I mean, again, one of the things you got to remember is our non-metallic mining laws were drawn up a long time ago, and they really weren't meant to address these large-scale, really heavy industrial sand mining operations. They're really generally aimed at the smaller quarrying, the traditional smaller, 10, 20-acre sand pits that really usually didn't take up more than 20, 30, 40 acres, and then were closed up and moved on. You have operations now that are hundreds, if not thousands, of acres in size, and having a much, much more significant impact on a local neighborhood than just a little sand pit that Mr. Wicks referred to. Very, very different circumstances, very different situations. You have huge, huge piles of sand sitting out in the open, allowing the wind to blow on them. And I can tell you, people have talked to me about the real concerns they have of sand blowing into the driveway. We had particulate matter, some of the sand grains, particulate matter were found in the air cleaning system of one of my local schools. I believe it was the Cochran Fountain City School District discovered fine silica dust in their air handling system, which was a real concern. I can tell you the people whose kids go to school. That's a real concern to the people that live there, whether or not you support sand mining or not. I'm not saying I'm against it, but again, we need to make sure that it's done right and done correctly. And to just sort of cavalierly wave away the real concerns that people have about this, again, unfortunately speaks to whether you're really interested in representing the people of the district or if you've just got an ideological axe to grind.
Well, once again, this is one of those things where actually going out and being out in the world and seeing things from a different perspective. If silica sand dust killed people, everybody in the Middle East would be dead, along with people in southwestern United States. So this notion that it's somehow, the silica dust in the air is causing cancer is a red herring that's thrown out by the environmental left to try to stop this stuff. Cut and dry, that's all it is. There's no real proof of it whatsoever. It's something that's being thrown out there because there's certain people that just don't want this to go forward.
Well, let me say this. The EPA regulates it and considers it a carcinogen now in the workplace. So clearly they have concerns. You have to have, again, this is one of those examples. We are dealing with something that has never really been done at this scale before in this area. There's nothing wrong with requiring some good studies to go out there and determine what's going on and do some monitoring to figure out if it was just studies that were going on, that would be fine.
But unfortunately, people have already made the determination at this point before these studies are concluded. That's the problem.
Sure. Okay.
Candidates in the November 4th general election for the seat in Wisconsin's 92nd State Assembly District. We heard from incumbent Democrat Chris Dano of Trempealeau and his challenger, Elmwood Republican Isaac Wicks. Dano is a former Onalaska police officer and has served in the Assembly since first winning election in the fall of 2008. Wicks is a business owner and military veteran who has previously been a candidate for four other legislative and state offices. The two participated in a broadcast forum recorded earlier this week in Wisconsin Public Radio's Eau Claire studios, moderated by WPR reporter Rich Kramer. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Mian Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at WPR.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to the candidates' websites and Wisconsin Vote. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.